And our guest the first 2 hours today is Wendy Schicchetti. Her website Her website is wendyschicchetti.com, and that's C-I-C-C-H-E-T-T-I. And I invite you to visit. She's a very interesting person, has a lot of interesting things going on in her life. Anyway, I thought that when I went to visit Bishop D, I thought that he would respond like this. I thought he would say, "Oh my gosh, I am so sorry that I offended her. I am so sorry that she misinterpreted my comment. I need to apologize to her and change my way of doing interviews with the women in the ward." That's what I thought he would do.
Right. Well, no, he blamed me for the whole thing, that I had started this gossip, that I had started something terrible, and that he had never done anything that should have given me that interpretation of his motives. And I was stunned. All I can say is I was stunned, I was shocked, and I was ostracized big time. Now, I don't know, even to this day, what actually went on in the ward, because I was just kind of out of the loop after that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what calling I had at the time. I did not. I just felt so bad that this occurred to you. And what should have happened was that he should have been in a church court.
Yeah.
Or at least he should have been interviewed by the state president for his inappropriate behavior. And the fact that he responded as aggressively as he did indicates his total guilt.
Yeah. Oh, I think so too. But, you know, here I was. I was pretty naive myself. And, you know, I it was like I was just, like, speechless. I didn't know where to go. And, you know, when something like that happens, and this is an important point, when something inappropriate happens in a church situation like this, where does the woman go? Who can she talk to? This is a good old boys network here. And that really is true. So all of the brethren get together, and of course he had to cover it and said, "We need to watch out for her. She's dangerous, you know, she's spreading rumors, she's doing this or that or the other thing."
And you weren't. One person.
Right, exactly. I would never have told that, you know, to any. I trusted you because we had spent so much time together, and I needed to tell somebody, you know.
Exactly.
But you know, that whole situation with him, it's like that's just the tip of the iceberg with this good old boys priesthood network. And just to give you an example of, you know, my father's attitude about his role as father and priesthood holder. I was living in Salt Lake City at the time, and my son, and I was single. I'd been divorced for I'd been single for like 10, 12 years, and I had raised all my kids on my own and was in the process of doing that. And my son, who was like 16, took the car and wrecked my car. And I told him when he left for wherever he was going that night, I said, I don't want you taking anybody in the car with you. You just go, and then you come back. Well, of course, he met somebody, and they were drag racing, and, you know, just about flipped the car over. It ended up on its side, and thank goodness for a good tow truck driver who was able to take it down without damaging it. But, he had picked up somebody and had somebody in the car. They were injured, and there was like an $800 emergency room bill that had to be paid. And, of course, I didn't have that kind of money. And my son called against my wishes and asked my father if he would loan him the money. And my father said no, because my youngest brother was, he had just paid for my youngest brother to do something, and he didn't have the resources. And my father said, well, why don't you call your father? And Sam, my son, said, no, you don't understand. I don't have a relationship with him. No, don't call him. Well, my father, in his infinite wisdom, got off the phone with my son and then proceeded to call my ex-husband.
And oh, say, okay, my gosh.
Yeah, against everything. And I, bear in mind, I had full custody of the children, okay?
Right.
He got on the phone, my dad, and called my ex-husband and told him about the situation and that maybe he ought to check on it. So then a few minutes later, I get a call from my ex saying, you know, what the hell is going on, blah, 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 you know? And your dad just called me, and so then I got to talk about going around in circles. Then I got off the phone with him, and I called my dad, and I said, do you have any idea the trouble you have caused? My son, Sam, told you not to call his dad. You decided to do it anyway. And now there's this big blow-up, and he said, well, he was next in line of authority. And I said, excuse me, I have full legal custody of these children. I am next in line of authority. You know, and he went, oh, you think you're such a good parent? That's why all of your children have turned out so rotten.
And Oh my gosh.
I just was absolutely stunned. And then I retaliated and said, you know, because his father, my grandfather, was really a wonderful man. He was a patriarch for many, many years. He had the gift of healing, and he was very kind, loving man. And so my retaliation to him, my dad at that time, was, you know, if your dad had any idea what a rotten parent you had become, he would roll over in his grave. And then I just hung up. But, you know, my... Now, to get into the good old boy network, okay? So, about 3 or 4 weeks later, I'm at the Bishop's, and in the ward we were in Salt Lake.
In Salt Lake, okay.
And he took me in, and we were talking. I can't even remember what we were talking about, but I relayed the whole thing to him and how upset I was, okay? He didn't say anything other than, well, it'll probably be fine. And then about 3 or 4 weeks later, we were talking on the phone about one of my kids or something with the bishop, and he said, oh, by the way, did you ever work out that issue with your dad? And I said to him, I said, have you talked to my father? And he said, oh, well, he just called me, and he was concerned. And it was like, you talked to my father and didn't come to me as my bishop and tell me? And he, you know, he just backpedaled and backpedaled. That was the last time I ever spoke with him.
That's what they do.
And it, right. And it was not too long after that that I actually left the church completely. I moved from Salt Lake to California and started over. And knew that I would never go back. But trust me, there is a good old boys network, and they take care of each other.
They do. Do you remember in the ward in Boise that after this occurred, that this Bishop D got up at the pulpit, and he gave a talk and told the women in the ward that we were not to talk to each other about personal things, that we were not to literally talk to each other, that if we had...
It seems like I remember something like that, yeah.
Yes, that anything that we had to say, that we needed to go to our husbands and not to our fellow sisters, or, you know.
Yeah.
And that was because of this situation. So he was trying to shut the sisters up, and which is just, I can't believe.
Well, the thing is, who else knew about it? I mean, I wasn't telling anybody.
Who else knew about it? Nobody.
It was you and your husband and Bishop Dent, or Bishop D, and me. We
exactly.
were the only ones that knew about it. I never talked to anyone else. I mean, I don't consider myself a gossip, you know.
And I never talked to anybody else either. I was I was kind of a loner. You know,
yeah.
I'm not social like you. I'm not, you know, charismatic. I'm not outgoing. And so I never mentioned it to anybody. But he overreacted to the point that he actually said that in a talk and told the sisters in the ward, literally, that if we had anything personal to say, that we were to not talk to the other sisters, that we were to talk to our husbands.
How interesting is that? You know, he just assumed that I maybe had told other people when I hadn't.
He also, that demonstrated his guilt.
I think so too.
Wow.
And who knows down the road if he did it to anyone else. All I know is it took me a long, long time to get over that betrayal. I was literally thrown under the bus. And it really did take me a long, long time to get over that. If I'd have ever seen him again, I would have literally, verbally ripped his face off.
Yes.
Because I have no respect for priesthood authority at all. In fact, when I submitted my desire to have my name removed, which is a very interesting concept. They never remove your name. You know that, don't you?
Well, I have. They say that at Quit Mormon, which is a website, that they do remove your name. But tell us what you're going to tell us.
I have a very good friend who worked for 30 years in the family history department, and she loves me. She says, "You're my favorite non-member."
Oh,
she's a sweetheart. She's since retired, but I told her, well, she told me, she says, "You know they never remove your name. They just put it in a different location, but they never take your name and remove it off of where they can get their hands on people who have, you know, asked to have it removed. It's always there. And, but it's in the church archives section." And I said, "Okay, do me a really, really big favor. Go in there and delete my name off those other roles." And this was just at the time where they made a switch. And they didn't, you had to have certain clearance to be able to go into those records. And so she said, "It's too late. If we'd have done it 2 weeks ago, I could have done it for you. But now everything's changed." So they never take it off. So you know, they tell you, they lie to you. They tell you that it's removed, but it isn't. And of course, it's in your best interest because they're keeping it there to save your soul in some way. You know, it's always about, you know, them knowing more about what's right and good for you than you know yourself.
Is it also to fake the numbers, to make the numbers seem like they are growing when in fact they are diminishing in membership?
Well, the only places where membership is growing is in third world countries. You know, in Mexico and in, you know, South America, those places, membership is growing because the people aren't educated. But in those areas where people are educated, they're losing members because the people are waking up going, you know, this kind of manipulation is just, you know, it's wrong. You know, I always thought, why in the world do you build temples with gold doorknobs and gold chandeliers when Jesus was born in a stable?
Very good question.
He doesn't give a shit about all that fancy stuff. That when I lived in California, you know, that temple that they made, there was $63 million. Probably the same thing now would be a billion. But why would you do that? When in reality, if you were really spiritually centered and not money-oriented or appearance-oriented, you wouldn't have to build something with gold and all of that stuff, because that's not who Jesus was or is, according to my understanding. But wow. The Mormon Church is all about appearance, how things look on the outside.
And that is why they conceal all of the sexual abuse that is going on in the church, because there's a great deal of sexual abuse in the church. And when somebody reports to their bishop that they have been sexually abused or domestically abused, then the bishop has an 800 number that they call. And they ought to be calling the police. But instead, they have an 800 number to call, and it's to a law firm, a very prominent law firm in Salt Lake.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Everything is to protect and cover up. And that's how I was raised. That was my family. You know, everything was to make Daddy and Mom look good, like they were perfect parents, that they were righteous members of the church. It didn't matter what the crap was going on in the house and the relationships, and that my mom and dad were always fighting and bickering. I remember when my father was bishop, and their bedroom was up above ours, and my mother always spent too much money, and they would argue and fight. And I remember as a child, you know, pulling the covers over my head and just wanting them to stop, just stop, you know, the arguing. And there was all kinds of, and then get this. Okay, here my mother has 8 kids. And remember the improvement era?
Yes.
Remember when it used to be, and then the name was changed to the Ensign?
Right.
Well, when it was still the improvement era, my father wrote an article that appeared in the improvement era. And it was all about people needing to get organized for Sunday morning. And that all the laundry needs to be done, all this stuff needs to be done, the shoes where they're supposed to be, and all this chaos about everybody wondering where their stuff was on Sunday morning just was not the right way to go. In other words, it was a huge slap to my mother. Huge slap to my mother. I thought, you know, you guys are always punishing each other. My mother would get fat to punish him because he hated fat, and he would do stupid stuff like that. It's just like craziness, but on appearance, when we went to church and we finally got there, we were the perfect family. Everybody loved the Abegg family. That was my maiden name. Everybody looked up and admired the Abegg family. And on the inside, I'm going, you know, we have a wacko grandmother living with us who had a nervous breakdown, whose husband was a pedophile, who, you know, sexually abused my mother, you know, all this weird stuff going on, paranoia in our household. But at church, we were the perfect family, and everybody admired our family. Isn't that crazy?
You know, that's the way that we think, because we were expected in the Mormon Church. You are expected to be perfect, and these are goals that you're never going to be able to reach, but it sets up a mentality where people are always comparing themselves to other families. And I think everybody does it. And I mean, I know exactly. I mean, my husband was a tyrant at home, and he was this good old boy at church. And it was just it was just really bizarre. We are going to a break momentarily, but I think we'll open the phone lines. People who want to make a comment, 800-313-9443. You're right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Angioprim can unclog blocked arteries and improve blood flow in all parts of your body. Angioprim is oral chelation. Easy, simple, liquid oral chelation. You take it with juice before breakfast and forget about it. Angioprim works fast, unlike old-fashioned chelation that takes hours. Just log on to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim, A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M, angioprim.com. Angioprim users say they have more energy, more strength, more endurance. Increased circulation and blood flow will make all your body parts work better. Log on to angioprim.com to get more information on how you can get started and start feeling better, having fun, and doing more again. Lots more. Talk to a trained Angioprim consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221. Or log on for complete information. Angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Find out how Angioprim can work for you. Get the facts about Angioprim at angioprim.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Our guest the first 2 hours is Wendy Schicchetti. Her website is wendyschicchetti.com, and that's C-I-C-C-H-E-T-T-I. And somebody in the chat room made a very astute comment. He said, those who have narcissistic issues will amp up their reactions, judgments, criticisms, snubbing. This is how they knock a target back down. And I think that describes Bishop D to a T.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He was definitely a narcissist, and everything was about his ego.
Exactly. Now, inasmuch as you did come from a rather dysfunctional family, how did you change this? Because I thought you were a fabulous parent. As I mentioned before, I love the way that you interacted with your children. You were a good example to me about how to interact with children, because I did not have that experience growing up. I was never allowed to bring any children, any of my friends, into my house. My mother didn't like children. And I mean, she tolerated us, but heaven help it, if I brought somebody home, I couldn't do it. So I saw the way that you interacted, and it was just so nice. So tell us how you changed changed your parenting paradigm?
Well, interestingly enough, when you knew me, of course, I was Molly Mormon, and I did all the canning and the cooking and the cleaning and the, you know, gardening and all of that stuff. And I enjoyed, I think it's just a natural thing. I enjoyed putting the kids up on the cupboard when I'd cook and letting them help me, and they helped me garden. In fact, when we lived in that house, I grew a lot of vegetables, and I grew a lot of peas, and all the neighborhood kids would come over, and we'd have pea shucking bees, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
It's just a natural thing. And I think it depends on how a person's raised. But what I did with my children, I made lots of mistakes. And when we left Idaho and I moved to Salt Lake, and I tried so hard to do what my parents had done with us, which was to shame, you know, beat, abuse your children into going to church to make you look better, to make me look better as a parent. And so I did all that. But then when I finally left the church in 89, I stopped all of that completely, because my kids were saying things to me like, "Mom, we knew this stuff was stupid a long time ago."
Wow.
You know, they went, so they wouldn't have gotten beat to death at the time, you know.
Sure.
But they did it because they had to, but they knew it was crap a long time before I came to that conclusion. And so now, of my seven children, not one of them is active. Thank you, God, because I don't believe in the mind control, and I'm so grateful that they see it that way.
Exactly.
You know, when you take a child at the age of 18 months into Sunday school and start indoctrinating them, not only with curriculum, but with music, like you talked about with the correlation committees, and I led the singing for years in primary. I know all those primary songs. I know that the indoctrination that takes place from the time they're 18 months old, that when it comes time for, when you question and you're in so much pain because you can see how bad it is and how wrong it is, but you are so tied in and fearful, it's like what came into my head so many times was, "But what if it is true?" For a long, long time, that came into my mind. What if that really is true? When my head and my heart was telling me, "Get out, get out, this is ridiculous." But there was that fear factor that came into play. But what if? But what if? And so it takes tremendous courage to get out.
And the other thing, too, is we're all trained to look at each other and judge each other. And you know that there are people in my former ward that, gosh, if somebody didn't show up on Sunday, they'd say, "Oh, where's so-and-so? Gosh, what's going on with that person?" Okay, we will be back in 3 minutes, and then let's talk about the Salt Lake Avenues. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
All right, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest the first 2 hours is Wendy Schicchetti. Her website is wendyschicchetti.com. And your father was a bishop in Salt Lake for a time. And tell us about some of the situation on the avenues. Maybe explain a little bit about what the avenues are.
Well, the avenues is kind of like what you consider kind of the yuppie, hippie kind of crowd, the lower avenues in Salt Lake City. And that's where, in Salt Lake City, a lot of the homosexuals reside, okay, the gays. And my father's job, and this was back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, or middle 80s, he was called to be a bishop, and his role was to weed out the gays on the avenues. And there were lots of gays who were LDS who went to church and still believed in the Mormon church. And so what was so fascinating to me is he would talk within his family about how much he enjoyed doing this and how much he enjoyed trapping them into admitting that they were gay. And he had some of them watched. And what he would do is he would call them in for an interview. And he said, I throw them off guard right at the beginning. He would say, the first thing he would say to them was, when was your last homosexual experience? That was how he started it. And it would throw them off so badly that it literally trapped them, and then they were able to then excommunicate more and more of them because of this. And he would laugh about it. He just thought that was the funniest thing, to be able to trap them and, you know, to do his job. I mean, it fed right into his ego. But I thought, how pathetic. Those souls anyway are tortured. Being gay in the Mormon Church, or any religion of that type, is such a painful experience. There's no acceptance. And exactly. And even of late, they have all of these statistics about Mormon families who throw their gay children out. Gay kids are living in old basements and under bridges and, you know, just insane behavior. And he just relished it. He just loved it.
What is it about narcissistic priesthood holders who get such a thrill out of taking down somebody else, delivering, letters to appear in a church court? Or what is it? Does narcissistic behavior run amok in priesthood in the Mormon Church?
Well, I think it does, because it's like, you know, my father saying, well, he's next in line of authority. I mean, it's that authority thing, that he has authority. I got to tell you this one other thing. When I lived in Idaho, one of the things I did was run for the legislature.
Which I thought was wonderful.
I loved it. And I was a state legislator there for about 6 years. And one of the other legislators who lived out in CUNA oftentimes would come and pick me up and drive me, because we only had one car, drive me to the state house, and we became very, very good friends. Well, that friendship really made my husband very, very insecure. And he often accused me of having sexual relations with this guy, which I never did. He was a very stalwart guy. He would have never done that. That's not who he was, this other legislator. But anyway, so my husband called my dad behind my back and said, I think that they've already had sex. And I didn't know this until that legislator called me. And what had happened was, my father then called his bishop and told his bishop that he felt that sexual intercourse had already taken place. And so that legislator was called in and had to account to his bishop. And when I found that out, when that legislator called me, I was so mad. Oh, my gosh, you have no idea. But, I mean, that's part of that good old boys network. You know, all the stuff that goes on behind your back. You know, if my father had been, had cared about me as an individual, he would have said, you know, this is what your husband says. Is there any truth to that? And then he would have believed me. No.
Or he would have told your husband, you know, I think this is something that you and Wendy need to talk about together, and don't involve me. Wow.
So anyway, I got on the phone and called my dad and just ripped him a new one. And of course, you can probably tell the last 10, 12 years of my father's life, I had no relationship with him at all. I was done. I couldn't. I did write him a letter of forgiveness when found out he had lung cancer, and that turned into brain cancer, and he was on his way out. And I wrote him a letter and said that I had forgiven him and that I hoped he could forgive me. And, you know, we had lots of disagreements and blah, blah, blah. And then I found out that when they read the letter, my mother said, "Huh, how dare her?" You know, it's like, what? I was just telling the truth.
Exactly.
How dare there was anything your father had done that you should forgive him for, you know? Your father has the right, and I found out this later, your father has the right to interfere in your life as much as he sees fit, as you being his child.
Wow.
So it's like, I had to totally end that. But in terms of the paradigm shift, I don't get involved in my kids' lives at all unless they ask me. My mother was always calling, you know, questioning, finding things out, and then telling them to everybody else in the family, you know. And I vowed I would never do that to my children.
Wow.
And even now, unless they come to me, I keep my nose out of it. They're adults. All my kids are over 30, okay? Figure it out, you
wow.
know. I don't want to be drawn into your nonsense, but if you have severe trouble, I'm happy to get in and help, but never to go behind their back, ever.
Right.
I mean, talk about betrayal.
Exactly. Wow.
But they think that's their role.
Huh. Let me share something with you that it sets a foundation for what we've been talking about. And this is from a book. It's called Joseph's Temples, The Dynamic Relationship Between Freemasonry and Mormonism. And he's, Smith organized the Female Relief Society of Nauvoo on March 17, 1842, just 2 days after he was initiated into Freemasonry in the same lodge room where the Nauvoo Lodge held its meeting above his red brick store on Water Street. When Smith addressed the Relief Society, he used Masonic terminology and taught its members that among the most important lessons they needed to learn was the Masonic skill of being able to keep a secret. He hoped that the Relief Society would help prepare Mormon women for the temple endowment, which the Mormon prophet revealed several weeks later. And he wanted to protect the secrecy of the ever-growing practice that he was beginning to disclose to his closest associates. And, of course, that was polygamy. Anyway, he... Thus, the society, which was initially conceived as a benevolent society, became dedicated to what Carmen Hardy has described as moral surveillance. Joseph counseled the society to keep all your doings within your own bosoms and hold all characters sacred, and it provided a forum to detect and shield the church from gossip. In particular, the society was intended to protect Joseph and the church hierarchy from rumors that the prophet was teaching the doctrine of plural marriage or that he was having sexual relationships with multiple women. Now, if that does not relate to what we have discussed today, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that formalizes it. He formalized it.
Yes. To allow them to do sexually whatever they wanted.
Right. And
that's
women,
what it was really about.
Yes. And the women are to keep quiet and not say anything about what had happened or would happen. And so the fact that it was set up as a surveillance. And if you look at, I've been doing this little study. If you look at all of the Relief Society presidents that we have had since Emma Smith, and she was the first president, if you look at their background and their names and their associations, things have not changed. The Relief Society is really designed to augment whatever the priesthood wants to do. And of course, to have this aura of the church as being really wonderful, and look how they allow their, well, didn't the first state that allowed women's suffrage was Utah, one of the first states, and the women were, some of the women were very big into that, but it wasn't because they had more freedom. It's because the men wanted more political power, and they would tell their wives how to vote. So just about everything that occurs, there's always some sort of ulterior motive that we don't see. And the fact that the church wants to keep up appearances, oh my gosh, I mean, just with Hinckley being on several programs and literally lying about the beliefs of the Mormon Church. when he taught, somebody asked him about polygamy or if Adam was God. And he said, well, gosh, I don't know that we ever teach that. You know, out and out lies. Simply, and I think that he was on these television programs because there was more and more things coming out about the church that really alarmed them. And since the invention of the internet, the popularity of the internet, I mean, it was all fine and good to conceal all of the stuff that went on in the history of the church. It was all fine and good when they had the correlation committee that checked all of the manuals that went out. Now, you mentioned that you taught in Mutual, but there is a program from the time a child is 18 months old till the day they die. You're in a program, you're in Sunday school, you're in a religious society, you're a priesthood, you're in young men's, young women's, there is something to keep people busy all of their lives. And if you get done doing that, then do your genealogical research. That is to keep you so occupied. You don't have time to question. You don't have time to really think or research because you're so busy doing other things that they ask you to do. Oh, okay. All righty. We lost her. Okay, lost connection. Okay. Yeah. Yes, he will call you back. Okay. That is the church in a nutshell, is that they do keep you so incredibly busy that you do not have time to ask questions. But things are changing. People are asking questions. People are reading about the history. They're reading about the Mountain Meadows Massacre, wherein Mormons, under the jurisdiction of Brigham Young, under the jurisdiction of Isaac Haight, under the jurisdiction of many other people who a mythology has been built up about, they attacked a wagon train, the Fancher wagon train, F-A-N-C-H-E-R, and slaughtered all of these people, including the women and the children. Now, Wendy, we lost you for momentarily.
Yeah, I'm here.
So anyway, I was talking about the Mormon Meadows, or the Mountain Meadows Massacre. I mean, that was something that was a horrific thing. I mean, just about every wagon train that went through, the bishops and everybody else were stealing cattle. I mean, we're talking 300 or 400 head of cattle, but they actually killed. Slaughtered at least 100 people. There were 17 children that survived. And, I mean, that's a terrible, terrible thing. And growing up in the manuals, you don't read about stuff like that. You hear the doctored version of everything. Okay, we do have a caller.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, let's take a call. JR in California.
Yes, Deanna, this is a really interesting show, and I've enjoyed all of it.
Well, thank you.
I have some comments. I actually dated a bishop's daughter back when I was in high school many, many years ago. This was probably from about 1960 through the 70s. And I got to know quite a bit about the Mormon religion. And that through this process, of course, most of my friends were Mormons. I went to Mormon camp one summer. It was for a couple of weeks or a week or whatever it was. Took the Mormon lessons and actually had quite a bit of an insightful experience that I'll never forget. Primarily, may I speak candidly?
Sure.
Well...
No, we don't do that on this program.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to kiss and tell, but what I am going to say is that I think that the religion of the Mormons, it's definitely in the interest of the men folks to prep their ladies for a lot of contact with men. And the reason I say this is that apparently through the doctrine of what God was, or what man is, God once was, and what man is, God, or what God is, man can become, they see the woman as almost like a queen bee, to where they're going to populate their new universe once that they get control and they get promoted to that point.
Yeah, that's an amazing doctrine. Just an amazing.
And go ahead.
We're going to a break momentarily, so we'll hold you over the break.
Thank you.
But yeah, that's that is an interesting concept, and it's certainly not biblical. All righty, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All righty. Back. Our guest is Wendy Schicchetti. Her website is WendySchicchetti.com. And JR, we have very little time, so please ask a question or...
You know what? I think that I've probably said more than enough. The only thing I can say is bless you, Wendy, and bless you for both being the stellar ladies that you are, Deanna. You know, I feel sorry for you in the way you were raised because, honestly, everybody in that entire organization has been indoctrinated, and the men are indoctrinated to enslave the women, and the women are indoctrinated to be obedient unto that slavery. And I'm so sorry for all of you. And just, you know, Lord bless you in the truth, okay?
Thank you.
We escaped.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we did. We were freed. But, you know, it's very interesting that he says that about the men being indoctrinated, because I still, to this day, think of and treat men differently than I do women. And it bothers me that I do it, and I don't know quite how to shift it. Does that make sense?
Once it becomes a part of your personality, how do you change that? How do you choose appropriate partners? And
yes.
It's just very difficult.
You know, my father was a nuclear physicist, and he made bombs for the government, top secret work, and he was very intelligent that way, but he didn't have much social intelligence, but he was extremely intelligent. And one of the things that always bothered me after I started seeing the truth was, how can somebody that intelligent buy into this nonsense?
Exactly.
And that bothered me till the day he died, that he wasn't smart enough to see through it. And I think it's because he had too many perks in it. Does that make sense?
Right.
Too much power, too many perks being involved with it. But when I look back at my role in the church, okay, and what I did, and the only feelings that I have left are embarrassment that I ever bought into it, that I ever bore my testimony. It's like, oh, when I think about some of the things I said and did and, you know, bearing my testimony and buying into that stuff, I just cringe with embarrassment. No, nobody remembers it.
I feel the same way. The same way. And, again, I apologize.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing to forgive. You did only what you felt needed to be done at the time. And you have nothing to feel bad about. But I appreciate your emotion over the situation.
Well, I love you, Wendy. You are just
a
great example to me.
And I'm so happy that I was.
Thank you so much for being on the program.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Okay, we'll do this again. We have a lot of stuff we could talk about. Lots of stuff.
Oh, politics, yeah.
So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. All righty. We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back with our next guest.
Have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make Protovite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for Protovite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. Protovite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago, when I started taking Protovite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points, and my fibromyalgia pain is gone, and so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, Protovite, for giving my life back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.